The Old Testament reading for this morning is from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9 on page 151 of your church Bible. The bronze snake. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread. There is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned again when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at it, at the bronze snake, he lived. The epistle lesson is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The gospel reading is from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And out of respect for the gospel, please rise as you are able. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned, already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This ends the readings, please.
Kind of hard to lose that hour of sleep, isn't it? But we're here with God's grace, and we're here with his mercy, and we're here with his peace. And that's ours for free through Jesus. We're going to look at the New Testament lesson for this morning. Lift up these verses again from Ephesians chapter 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may these words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. You who are our strength, our rock, our Redeemer, our saving grace. Amen. This may seem like a question to you with an obvious answer, and in a way I hope that it is that for you, and that not only you know the answer to the question, but you also know the answer to the question here in your heart. I'm going to ask the question. There's no more important question to know the answer to than this one. In fact, this question is why we have this church. The purpose of this church is so that as many people as possible know the answer to the question. And not only know the answer to the question up here, but that knowledge takes the critical journey of 12 inches and also resides here in our hearts. How will you get to heaven? As you think about that, and maybe you don't need to think about it, and that's good if you don't, I was kind of curious, and so I Googled. I went to the internet and I Googled, how do I get to heaven? Looking for potential answers. Sadly, the first one that I looked at, how will I get to heaven? The person responded, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell. And they gave 10 reasons why they were choosing hell over heaven. Another person answered by stating that you get to go to heaven if you meet these three criteria based on Mark chapter 10 and Mark chapter 13. One, that you become like a child. Two, that you give to the poor. And three, that you stay awake, that you don't fall asleep and miss Jesus when he comes back again. So how are you coming with your answer? Here's one more response that I saw on the internet. How do you get to heaven? The answer was given in two parts. You follow the Ten Commandments. And if you can't follow the Ten Commandments, then you believe in Jesus. And your answer? Listen again, we've heard Paul say it a number of times in today's New Testament lesson. He gives a single word answer as to how we go to heaven. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. How will anyone get to heaven? The one word answer is grace. It is by grace you have been saved. And in my heart, I'm just praying that he calms her and heals her. It's okay. It's okay. Just this is something I do, okay? I'm going to pause here for a second. Whenever I hear a child in distress in worship, I stop and I pray for that child. In my mind, I pray for that child, that God calms that child, whatever, and that God gives the parents of that child the wisdom and what they need to be able to minister and serve their child. And just like what happened now, even though she left for just a few moments, Machen, you hear the quiet and the calm? I'd be a rich man if every time I was preaching there was a child in distress and I prayed that prayer, and I have, that within 30 seconds, there's calm. Not because they left the sanctuary, but there's just calm because God answered the prayer. I'd be a rich man if I had a nickel for every time that happened. And I just share that with you by way of, that's how we minister to parents with young children. That's how we can come alongside them when we're worshiping together. If there's a child in distress, just in your mind, pray, Lord, give that child peace. And give those parents what they need to help their child be brought to that piece, okay? There's kind of a commercial, okay? Okay, let's get back to grace, shall we? Because grace is being given something that you do not deserve. It's a gift from God. Grace. We have it in the person of Jesus, don't we? As Paul says in this same section of Scripture, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." And then Paul's very next words are these, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Grace. Grace as we have been given it in Jesus. That's how we get to heaven. Today's New Testament gospel lesson certainly underscores that, doesn't it? Words you know by heart. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Grace. Just take a moment to savor the word. You know a song we love to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's what we were. Wretches. Wretch means you're extremely deplorable and bad. And we were a different kind of a wretch. Sinful wretches. Paul holds nothing back by bringing us the word grace about our condition before grace. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you once used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." And then Paul says, "But." To people who couldn't do anything about their condition, because dead people can't do anything about that condition. But to people who deserve the full wrath of a holy and just God, he said, "But." But because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, and mercy, by the way, is to not give to people what they deserve to be given, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. But. You know, just so we can savor God's grace in Jesus just a little longer, ask this. What if there was no but in Ephesians chapter 2? What if God didn't have a great love for us? What if there was no Jesus? What if there was no John 3:16? What if there was no such thing as grace? Then there would be no answer for us to give, would there, as to how we go to heaven? There would be no workable answer. But there is grace, the gift of God. You've seen this before, I think. Grace explained, God's riches at Christ's expense. And it includes the gift of the forgiveness of all of our sins. And it includes the gift of being called one of God's redeemed children, being made part of His family. And it includes the gift of His peace, knowing all is good between us and God. And it includes the gift of eternal life, the gift of heaven, grace. Really, it's hard to comprehend, isn't it? I mean, especially when we consider what God did in order to be merciful, what God did in order to be gracious, to withhold from us what we deserved and give instead to us what we didn't deserve. For to bring that about, God had to give His one and only Son. Now, to put that into perspective, just think about giving up one of your own children for the sake of others. Not just giving them up, but giving them up to death. I think even if you don't have a child, you can understand how difficult that would be. His love gave up His Son for us. His love put Jesus in our place. His love put Jesus on the cross. His love had His Son pay the full price for our sins so that there could instead for you and me be grace. And He did that because, as John says, God so loved the world. And personally, I really like it that Paul was bold enough to add the word great in describing God's love for us because of His great love for us. It makes me think of another of our favorite hymns that we can savor the grace and God's love in Jesus. How great Thou art. But when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. And then the very next words of that hymn of amazing grace, how great Thou art, are these. Then sings my soul. You want to sing that with me? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Yeah, so I want to ask you this question. How can your soul sing this week to your God and your Savior for all of His amazing grace? Listen to what Paul had to say about that. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Even when it comes to our response to God's grace, His grace provides the song and enables us to sing the song with our lives. We're His workmanship, which means that God has given to each of us the skills and the knowledge and the opportunities we need to live for Him as our children, as His children. In fact, He's given us the words that He's created in us in Jesus to do the good works as our joy-filled and faith-filled response to sing. He's planned what He wants us to do with our lives. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What has He prepared for you to do this week? Ask Him. Ask Him to make you more aware of what His plans are for you. Ask him to open your eyes to see the opportunities he's going to before you to live out your faith and to serve him. Ask him for the heart and the faith to step up and meet those opportunities each and every day as long as God gives you life, until by his grace he gives you the ultimate gift, which is to take you to be with himself in heaven. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.